Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Time for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, how are you, sir?
I am doing just fine, just loving this snow.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Doesn't hurt my feelings any.
No, it really doesn't. But it's really good for those fires, and it's just good.
Yes.
We needed it.
Amen. Well said. So, speaking of just all of what's going on, and I realize the fires, and by the way, just as a side note, I think the fires are going to change even your world to some extent, because there are going to be people that either decide not to rebuild, they're going to be looking to move other places, there are going to be opportunities for people to move up there and so on. And my point is, Kurt, what's happening in the fires and the rebuilding even that will now go on down the road, it's probably going to affect the amount of inventory we have in the metro area, or am I wrong in my thoughts?
No, I agree with you. Some of those communities, like when you go up to Evergreen or Conifer or Bailey, a lot of those people work here. Well, you're going to have the same effect there in Estes Park, and they're going to be out of home. They're just going to say, I don't want to do this again there, and they're going to come down here, which puts more of a demand.
And the other demand that I see happening is just when it comes to tradesmen and workers and so on, if they're all up in the mountains doing a bunch of rebuilding, which you and I both know is going to happen, then that's going to affect what happens down here as well.
It's going to slow down any kind of remodel work you're doing. So if you've got anything planned, it's going to take a little bit longer. I agree with that also.
Which, maybe I'm wrong in this, Kurt, but I know there's always a silver lining that comes out of things along these lines. I think for Colorado, some of the silver lining may be it's going to be good as far as the trades go work-wise, but then on top of that, I think it's going to keep property values up because there's not going to be as many houses on the market.
And I don't disagree with that, because I was hearing an article just the other day in the media, and the media is trying to say that delinquencies are up. But what they fail to tell you is the truth behind that headline, in that delinquencies are up is because of the forbearance people went into this year, unlike 2008, 2009. The forbearance was a voluntary thing that people said, I want to hold off for 90 days or 6 months or a year. But these are people that are still working. They just deferred their payment. And of those people that have gone into forbearance, there's only 4% of them that aren't going to get out.
Gotcha.
So when the media tells you we're having all this problem, what that does for the other 95% goes along with what you just said, John. The demand is still going to be there. The values are still up. People are going to sell their homes. So it's going to keep that cycle going. And I think that's kind of unique to Colorado, to go along with the fires and the demand for property. It's going to stay up for a while.
I think it is, too. And, you know, Kurt, I don't have a crystal ball. I mean, I don't know what's going to, you know, what tomorrow holds any more than you do. But I think if you just look at the common sense equation side of this and say, you know, you just look at the supply and demand factor, anytime you have a fire like we've had, go across the Front Range here roughly, you know, Front Range, and I realize on the other side of the divide as well, but within an hour and a half, 2 hours of Denver, when you've got that kind of a situation going on, and you lose inventory, you're going to push home prices up.
Yeah, you're going to, and the day supply is, I mean, we're like at 23 days. Home isn't on the market from the time that they list it
Wow.
to the time they close it. It's 23 days.
Wow.
That's unheard of.
Okay, so along those lines, what do folks need to do with you to be prepared, whether it be a refi or whether it actually be something they get into where they're trying to buy a new home?
They need to give me a call and let me get them pre-approved. It's a pretty simple process. It doesn't take but a couple days. My number is 720-895-0500, or they can go to my website at aimortgage.net.
Perfect. Kurt, what's on tomorrow for a Haystack Help?
We're going to be talking with a woman that does senior care facilities.
Gotcha. Okay. Another big topic, by the way.
What they're going through.
Yeah,
yes.
Really big topic. Kurt, as always, I appreciate you very much. Affordable Interest Mortgage, that's our Monday Mortgage Minute.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, sir. Again, 720-895-0500. And Kurt can show you a way. He just talked a moment ago about some of those remodels. In northern Colorado, that's Mighty Hand Construction. They will help you with some of the remodel projects, adding on, additions, outbuildings, you name it. They're the folks that can help you with that. 970-844-9191 or find them at klzradio.com.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe joining us now. Joe, what's up, sir?
John, I want to talk about COVID, unless you talked about it earlier today.
No, I only briefly, you know, I had a lot going on today, so no, just briefly kind of brushed over it in the very beginning of the 3 o'clock hour, so go ahead.
All right, well, first, kind of big picture, we'll start globally, then come down to Colorado. Globally, it doesn't seem that masks make a damn bit of difference. You know, France that's had this extreme lockdown, got to wear a mask while you're riding your bicycle. They're exploding in terms of daily cases on a per capita basis compared to the U.S. And, you know, we don't have this type of lockdown. You know, you don't need to wear a mask while you're biking. Some states don't have any mandates. So we're doing better than France, despite their lockdown now.
Right.
Let's come into Colorado. Our cases are, in fact, exploding. You know, we're up to 2,100 cases a day, up from 800 cases a day just 45 days ago. But the good news is there's actually a silver lining. If you look at the demographics, who's getting sick, it's the under 39 and under is 80%. And the death rate is still only 10% of what it was back in March. So why is that good news? Well, if you believe that the vast majority of those who become infected and recover will have some degree of immunity, at least equal to, if not better, than the immunity you would get from an infection, that means that we're on our way to herd immunity, because anybody who's acquired immunity through an infection breaks a vector. And let me explain what a vector is. In order for person A to catch it, in order for person C to become infected by person A, there has to be a carrier person B who becomes infected by person A and then in turn transmits it to C. If person B is immune, that breaks the transmission chain. It's like a roadblock,
right,
saying, nope,
right,
you can't go past,
right,
you can't go past me, I'm a roadblock, I'm immune, I can't transmit from A to C because I'm immune. So the more people we have,
which takes the R factor. I mean, everybody talks about that. The press is always talking about it. It basically lowers the R factor, right, Joe?
It lowers the R factor, exactly. So to the extent that we're getting 2,000 people a day with, you know, infected, and 1,996 recover. Virtually every one of those recovered patients breaks the transmission chain.
And thereby lowers the R factor across the board. It's one of the things we've been preaching, you and I, for months now, is and I just had an article here that I was going to read, which coincides with this, from the Denver Post, which they're predicting the Game of Thrones black winter coming in when it comes to job losses in the restaurant market. Well, yeah, Joe, when you keep everything shut down, what do you expect?
Yep. The restaurants, very few restaurants are going to survive. The other good news, by the way, is that influenza infections are way, way, way down because of social distancing.
Yeah, they're almost minuscule, Joe.
Minuscule, right. So when you look at that, we have, 500 people in hospitals. By the way, there's 109 hospitals in Colorado. So that means that on average, the typical hospital only has 5 COVID patients. It's not like we're overwhelming our hospitals. But with influenza,
I'm going to stop you there for a second real quick, because I'm sure I'll get some comments on this from folks. The other thing, too, that everybody has to realize, I'm not a medical professional, but I know enough about the medical industry to know that those rooms that they're talking about for using for COVID, Joe, in any particular hospital are very flexible as well. They have the ability to convert things around and use them for COVID. So let's say, for example, they had 15 rooms today. If they needed 30 tomorrow, they could easily have that transferred in no time flat.
Absolutely. And if they start to approach capacity, all they have to do is cancel elective surgeries, John.
Yeah, they have. In other words, they have a 2,000-bed hospital. They're not going to have 2,000 people in there with COVID. I get that, Joe. But the reality is they could easily convert that bed, the bed capacity of that, and use a fourth of that with no problem.
With no problem. And if on any given day, John, that 25% of those beds were reserved for elective surgery, you just cancel, you postpone elective surgeries.
Correct.
And just freed up 500 beds.
Correct. It's real easy. And again, this is not, I don't know, well, I do know. I do know why the news media is making such a big deal out of this, because they're trying to hype things up to the point that they've even got some conservatives, Joe, on the bandwagon of, mask wearing, and on down the line we go. And real quick, I want to ask you a question, because I've been texting somebody here on the show about this very subject, and I am still of the opinion that masks do nothing when it comes to the contracting of COVID. In fact, in some cases, they may hurt the person wearing them as much as help. All it is one big feel-good visual reminder that there's something going on around us. They are not doing anything to protect the person wearing it.
And if they did, John, we've been under a mask mandate for, 4 months now? If the masks weren't working, why is our daily infection rate up by 400%?
Yeah, and I told this particular person, Joe, just go look at the data, and you just gave the numbers again, and I think even Richard has mentioned in the past numerous times that Colorado as a whole does a pretty good job of mask wearing. We're at about 80%, which, by the way, is probably better than a lot of other states, and yet our numbers don't change much from other states that don't have masks.
Right, and we've gone from 500 daily infections to 2,100 daily infections. If masks work, why is our daily infection
Great question.
Up by 400?
Great question. Right. And the reality, Joe, is this. We know, first of all, in some minute cases, maybe they work, but by and large, they don't. It's a big feel-good measure. If you look at the way people even wear masks in the first place, I am still of the opinion, and I will stay in this opinion until I go to the grave. The people that wear masks, 99.999, because they haven't been trained in the medical community, the majority of people that wear masks don't even wear them correctly in the first place, so they're doing no good whatsoever.
Well, and another point, John, the masks don't protect you, because you can, if somebody speaks or coughs on you, the eyes are just a great route to become infected.
Correct.
So unless you're covering your eyes. So the only thing a mask will do, if worn properly, won't eliminate, but will reduce the probability that you might spread it to somebody else. But the mask does not protect you one iota.
And again, I go back to even the protection. We've talked about this before. I got a minute or two here, but I think because I've been having somebody texting, asking questions, I need to get into this. And the reality is, let's take that person that's infected, that's wearing the mask to supposedly keep, they're They've got it, but they don't know they have it. They're spreading it. They don't know they're spreading it. They're wearing the mask, doing the things they're supposed to. But let's say that they just reach up and they rub their nose or they rub their eyes, or you get where I'm coming from with this, and they're running around Costco or King Supers or whatever. Are they not infecting every single thing in there that's being touched?
If they've touched their face and they're touching the handle of the freezer or the milk cooler, absolutely. And the next person who touches that milk cooler handle will get, will pick up.
And then in the meantime, because they just were in the freezer, well, that's a great example, by the way. So they open the freezer door, they're adjusting their mask in the process, which, by the way, a lot of times they're holding the door open with their leg and they're adjusting their mask with their face after just touching the handle after the last guy that just touched it had COVID. How does this protect anyone, Joe?
John, it's minimal. Again, the only thing is if you were to cough or you were to speak loudly and possibly, exhale, droplets as you speak. And some people, when they speak, if you speak a hard P or a hard T,
right.
Exhale. So it's going to reduce that sort of direct from the mouth transmission.
But aren't we finding too, though, Joe, that the majority of these infections aren't coming from folks going to Costco and King Supers, but rather they're at home where somebody else has had the infection?
Yep, it's home transmission. At-home transmission is the number one vector right now.
Thank you.
It is not.
So I go back to, then why don't we just open up businesses? Because this Denver Post article is talking about 33,000 jobs in the Colorado area that could actually be gone in the restaurant and retail world. And I talked about my retail experience I had over the weekend in the 3 o'clock hour. The reality, Joe, is we are not helping the economy get back on track by what we're doing right now.
No, and there's a cost in human life and suffering, depression, drug addiction, domestic abuse, if you look at the rates of accidental drug overdoses, suicides from depression, all of those things are up. People say, well, look at the increase in expected deaths over the baseline. Well, and they want to make you believe that increase in expected deaths over the annual baseline is due to COVID. No, a great percentage, and I don't have it at my fingertips, a great percentage are from not the disease, but the unintended consequences.
Gotcha.
Like suicides, like drug abuse, like domestic abuse. So it's not just the COVID that's contributing to those additional deaths.
Where I feel we're at, Joe, with all of this, and I think today was a great example of it. So we had a little bit of snow, and by the way, folks, this is not much snow. Those of you that have moved in from out of state, this was not a storm, in my opinion. Now, there was a little bit of snow up north, but not enough for me to feel like we needed to justify closing anything today, Joe. But yet, we just heard the traffic report a moment ago. There's hardly any traffic right now because hardly anybody went to work today. I feel like what we've done with COVID, Joe, is generate an entire lazy society that would rather stay home than actually go to work.
John, I think you're right. And you're talking to a guy that lived in Syracuse, New York for eight years. Don't know if you know what lake effect is.
Oh, yes, I do.
So, we'd wake up to 12 inches of snow and it was just a normal, school buses were running. You had to get 2 feet to shut things down in Syracuse. So we have
in some cases 4 inches, maybe 10 inches up north. That's not how much stuck to the pavement because we had some melting and so on. And the reality is today we have the entire city basically staying home because of a snow day. And I also wonder, these schools that had snow days, I thought they were doing remote learning anyways. Why would any school have a snow day in this day and age?
John, the same thought occurred to me. I was watching the news this morning at 6 o'clock. And I'm hearing about all these shutdowns for snow days. I'm saying, you shut down if you're doing remote learning?
You know what they did, Joe? They gave the teachers the day off is what they did today. So, I'm being honest. I'm honest, and I'm sort of being a little bit snippy in that, but I'm also being very serious. They just gave the teachers a day off today, which, by the way, they didn't need.
They didn't need, exactly.
Yeah, I go back to my comment a moment ago. All we've done with COVID and all of these restrictions is we are now generating a very lazy, dependent upon government society. That's what we're creating, Joe.
You got it. John, you're well said, John. 100% spot on.
Joe, I appreciate your phone call, as always, and backing me up on the data. Thank you very much. Folks, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I said that in the 3 o'clock hour. Anybody that's had COVID, people that have died and had family members and so on. I get it, folks. I understand all of that. But we cannot, please hear me when I say this, we cannot continue to keep the economy, businesses, schools, and other things shut down because what we're doing is not only having an adverse effect upon the people that actually lose their jobs, but we are now starting to create, and you're seeing it today in Denver, we are now creating a lazy society. L-A-Z-Y, lazy. And for those of you that think I'm crazy when I claim that we're creating a lazy society, human nature is to be lazy. If you don't teach yourself to not be, normal human nature behavior is to be lazy, sit around, be lethargic, not get out and do the things you need to do, not work, let somebody else feed you. That's the normal human sinful tendency, is to be lazy. If you don't believe me, go look it up. I'm not wrong in what I'm saying. That is normal for the majority of people. Anybody that's raised kids would understand what I'm talking about. The normal human tendency that we have to drive out of youngsters is to be lazy. Unfortunately, most parents don't do a really good job of that, and that's why we have an entire now lazy generation that when we have a little bit of snow that flies like we just did today, you got to shut the whole stinking city down. Don't get me started, folks. This sort of stuff really gets me going and irritates me because we're now generating and creating an entire lazy society out of what we're doing today, and it's absolutely ridiculous that we've got to that point. We're going to have a special guest join us here in just 1 minute. Anil Mattai, though, going to join us prior to that. Anil, what's going on, sir?
John, I just want to say you are spot on. You are correct. You know, this is all political theater, and we better pray we get out of this as soon as possible, or it's just going to destroy us.
It really is. I'm afraid, Anil, that it's already doing that to a large extent when you look at what went on today with the snow that we had. And, you know, and I love snow. It's great. I mean, I make money with it. It's all fine and dandy. Bring it on. But, you know, we can't just have a snow day because it snows. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, if people really want to go behind the science of the Wuhan virus, it's a 0.06 to a 0.14 micron, you know, virus. And so the mask cannot even catch it in the first place. So, again, people would just need to stop fearing other people. Fear God and don't fear man, and stand up and do what's right, or it's over for our children.
Amen.
Our children are done.
Amen, Anil. Well said. Thank you, Anil. I appreciate that very much. Enjoy your night. Well said. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks, and I can tell you right now, who's not lazy when it comes to taking care of you, your car needs, and so on, that is Purify Chevrolet. They'll work hard to put you in the right car. They'll do what they need to do, whether you want to pay cash, get financed, whatever. They're going to take great care of you. That's PurifyChevrolet.com. Call 303-659-8311.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses. So we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at PurifoyChevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, where they would love, Al Smith, he would love to help you out with your financial future, where you're going, how are you going to get there, how are you going to stay there, what are you going to do while you're there. That's what Al can do for you. Find him at KLZRadio.com or call 303-744-1128.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Our next guest joining us now, Merrick Rosenberg, who is back, author of Personality Wins, Who Will Take the White House and How We Know. Merrick, how are you today? Thanks for joining us, sir.
Great to be here, John.
Always a joy having you. You've been on with us before. And let me ask you this, first of all, has your opinion changed as to what will happen next Tuesday?
I don't think so. I think the personalities are plainly visible, and I think that people are going to vote for personalities, and I think we've been watching it for this entire election season, so I think it's pretty locked in at this point.
And for everybody listening, I think Merrick thinks that Joe will win.
That is true. That is true. So should we walk through it and give a sense of like how that plays out?
Yeah, go right ahead. Feel free. Because I disagree, but go ahead. You're fine. You're the expert in this case. I'm not. Go ahead.
So we've got four core personalities. And everybody, including presidents, we have these styles, we have these personality types. We've got eagles, confident, assertive, take charge, Donald Trump, clearly the eagle. We've got Harris, big energy, charisma. They've got a big smile, somebody like a Reagan. Bill Clinton has that style. Biden has had that throughout his career, though he has much more been like the dove, which is more soft.
Yeah, he hasn't had that lately.
No, he hasn't had the parrot in this election at all. He's been much more showing the dove, which is more about empathy and compassion. And his whole campaign is based on that. And then you've got the owl, logical, analytical. We saw somebody like an Elizabeth Warren has that style, George H.W. Bush. And you know what's fascinating? I know we've talked about this. Eagles and parrots have those big personalities, and big personalities, they always beat those more quiet, reserved personalities. So that means eagles and parrots do tend to beat the doves and owls. But this is an interesting election. So I think this may be the one.
So in a way, no offense, but Merrick, you're sort of contradicting yourself, because if Joe's been acting the most like a dove and doves tend to lose to eagles, why would Trump not beat Joe?
You are correct. And what happens, I believe, in this one, look, last election, all along, looking at the polls, I'm saying, look, I'm telling you, Hillary's an owl, Trump's an eagle, eagle beats owl. But here's what I'm seeing this time. When you take your personality and you dial up the energy a little too much, your strength becomes your weakness. And Trump has dialed up that assertiveness, which has then become aggressive. He's dialed up the directness, which has become abrasive to some. And so I think because he's overusing his personality, that eagle works against you. And I see it in corporate America with CEOs, and I see it in politicians. When you overuse your strengths, they become your weakness. And I think what allowed Trump to win in 2016 is exactly what's working against him in 2020.
Yeah, and that's where you and I will just have to agree to disagree. I think even the polls on my end are starting to show a shift. The last debate that we had last week, you saw Trump come out. You know, he wasn't near as aggressive. He was, and by the way, far, far, far too aggressive in that first debate, and I think that really did hurt him in a lot of ways. Although this last time around, that's not what you saw last week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that he dialed up that assertiveness a little too much. Look, he interrupted every 24 seconds. That was just too much. I think he dialed it back in this debate. I mean, we clearly saw that. Forget about the rules. He just did.
Right.
I mean, he contained himself. And I do think that allowed him to be what he always talks about as presidential. And I think that showed him being more measured. He was assertive when he needed to be. But I think that had he dialed his personality down to that level, then this would be a very different race.
Well, and there's 1 week left, and I know that there's a lot of folks that have already decided, although I will tell you that I feel like most of the folks that decided early on and voted are people that probably wouldn't have been swayed one way or the other. They are the hardcore conservatives or the hardcore liberals. They're going to vote early no matter what. You're not going to sway them one way or the other, no matter what you, I, Trump, Biden, anyone else says. They are that D. They are that, you know, that hard D, that hard R. They're voting that way no matter what. It's now those folks that are kind of left out in the, you know, kind of in between that really don't know who to vote for that you're looking at.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, those people at the end of the continuum, it's not about personality. It's about party and ideology.
Right.
But when you look at those folks in the middle, and it's those swing voters, those, you know, the people from the that independent voter, those folks, you even listen to it after the debate, those folks are talking about their personalities. They didn't talk about what they agreed with or aligned with in terms of their policies and their platform. Those, if you ever watch like the interviews of those quote undecided voters after a debate,
right,
they're always talking about personality because that's what they vote on. And that's why that first debate, I think, hurt Trump. But the second one, look, I think it was probably a draw. I think that he was more measured. I think that Biden was maybe a little more clear than in the first one, and because he wasn't being interrupted so much, he was able to be. And it was probably a draw. I'm not sure if that moved the needle for either of them.
Yeah, and I don't know with that particular voting block that we just talked about whether it moved any of those or not. The question I guess I have for you, and maybe people just don't care, but I mean, I do. Granted, I mean, I do this on a daily basis, and I read and look and know kind of what's going on, you know, around the world, not just here in our own country. But the Hunter Biden, you know, fiasco that's going on right now, you can't tell me that that's helping Joe at all.
No, I wouldn't say it helps Joe, but here's the thing. The question is, does it hurt him? And the problem that we see in politics is that in many cases, we give politicians a pass for integrity, for honesty. I mean, look, we hired and selected a president named Tricky Dick. We voted for a president named Slick Willie. It didn't really matter. You know, if this is our personal relationships, you told me, you know, I'm dating someone and they're honest about 80% of the time, you'd say, I'm not marrying that person. That's just 20% of the time they're dishonest. No way. But if that were true for a politician, we'd say, yeah, you know, there's a belief all politicians are crooked and we give them a pass. I'm not sure that has as much of a sway on the voters as we would, you know, we would hope that if there were scandals, those scandals would have an impact, but I don't know. Oftentimes they just don't.
And again, I'm not in that particular area. I'm not going to disagree with you. How do you answer, which we saw even this weekend? I mean, the droves and droves and droves of individuals that are even on their own doing parades, or they're going to the actual Trump rallies, or spontaneous things that are erupting and so on. How do you explain that? Because honestly, I don't see any of that for Joe.
Well, you know, what you're looking at is when you have that eagle personality or the parrot, there's such big energy, they create a movement. They don't just create followers. They create a movement. I mean, you look at like JFK and Reagan and Bill Clinton and Obama. They created such a big following. They would have 20,000 people who would show up. But when you have those owls and doves, and although Biden's been that parrot throughout his career, he's acting much more like the dove now. You know, Hillary just didn't have those big crowds. And you see a lot of those owls and doves, they don't generate that kind of excitement. So you're exactly right. That you're seeing his eagle in action. It creates energy. It creates a movement.
Well, and I guess next Tuesday we'll see, you know, who all shows up at the voting booths, who's voted now, you know, who's already voted and so on. And by the way, there are certain states, not every state, but there are certain states where the Democrats are way behind in early voting, which I think in those particular cases does hurt them.
Yeah, I think that as we look ahead at you know, who has generated excitement, in many ways, I don't really think this is an election about do you like Joe Biden. I think it's an election around Trump's personality. And do you like him or did he turn you off? I mean, he even said it. There was this moment where Chris Wallace was interviewing Trump and he was kind of poking at him a little bit. And he said, you know, Fauci's got some better approval ratings than you do. And what do you make of that? And Trump looked at him and I thought this was very accurate. He said, there must be something in my personality that they don't like. And I think that was it. It's not a question of do you like Joe. It's a question of do you not like Trump. I think he is potentially, if he wins, it will be because of his personality. But if he loses, it will also be because of his personality.
Well, and I am not going to disagree with you there. I think you're exactly right. And I think ultimately what it's going to come down to as we kind of, you know, start to enter winter and, you know, around here we've got publications now and local papers talking about how many more potential job losses we'll have, you know, over the winter as we start to scale things back and restaurants can't serve people outside anymore because of the weather and so on and so forth. Merrick, I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong, but I mean, I've got to believe at some point some people actually do vote with their wallet. Maybe I'm wrong in that.
I think that is true to a degree. In fact, you know, you go back and look at the data, and good economies certainly do benefit incumbent presidents. And the reality is that if you bring it back to personality, no incumbent Eagle president has ever lost an election. We're talking going back to 1789. If Trump were to lose, he would be the first Eagle who was a sitting president to lose the election. Although there were two, Truman and LBJ were two Eagles, and they chose not to run the second time because Eagles don't like to lose, and they knew they were going to lose. So you're right. It would be a pretty shocking thing. You know, the economy was booming. Obviously, we have some challenges now with COVID, but it's going to be fascinating to see because it will certainly break some trends here. And either an Eagle loses for the first time in 1789 or somebody who's acting more like a dove wins. So in one way, personality is going to play out here.
No, it is. And I just hope that, and mainly because I'm afraid that if we've got a dove running the country, even a parrot running the country, when we're trying to get things back on track. I mean, we already heard Joe Biden last week talking about how if it was him, you know, he would shut more of the country down, mandatory masks, things along those lines, which I already can tell you don't do anything to help the economy. I experienced that myself this past weekend at the mall. You know, we're not going to get the economy back on track by keeping things shut down and wearing masks constantly, Merrick. And whether people understand that or not, that one I don't have an answer to. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting election. There's no doubt. I mean, we know this is perhaps one of the most polarizing elections. Probably compared second to the last one. Maybe that was pretty close. I mean, they were both pretty polarizing. But I think that it's so polarizing because of the candidates themselves. And you know, the thing that we have to look at is that it doesn't mean that if you have a dove or a parrot or an owl, that they're not going to do a good job as president. I mean, if you look at the first five presidents of the country, they were all owls. We had Washington and Jefferson and Adams. You had a group of owls. And right up to the Civil War, six presidents in a row, they were all doves, including Lincoln. And he was a dove parrot. Hmm. So it's really interesting. Like, we do often today believe that we need eagles in charge, but doves and parrots can actually be great leaders, but they...
No, they can't. No. Work. I mean, you look at, for example, I think for people listening, if you don't know what Merrick's even talking about, I watch a lot of keynotes and things like that, and I watch a lot of things with Apple, Merrick, just because I'm sort of an Apple guy and not because I believe in their politics, because I love their products and so on. But if you look at Tim Cook, and even if you looked prior to that, but if you look at Tim Cook and Steve Jobs, for example, neither one of those guys are Eagles by a long shot, yet they're leading the largest company literally in the world.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, you take a look at somebody like, I think Tim Cook is much more of a dove and an owl. You take someone like Warren Buffett. He was more of an owl. Someone
Correct.
Like Richard Branson, more of a parrot. Look, they've self-made billionaires, and they're not Eagles. And so we have to be careful not to link, you know, that eagle personality,
right,
that confident eagle is the only one who can succeed. Others can, but in today's world, it's very hard to elect them to be the president.
Yeah, well said. Well, I think that I'll leave you with that. I think that's a very good way of saying it. So here's what we're going to do. No bets, no none of that kind of, because honestly, I have foggiest idea what's going to happen next Tuesday. I hope we even know that night what's happening. I think if I was going to take a bet, it would be, are we going to know that night, or is it going to be several days after that we actually know who the real winner is? But what I'll do is we'll have you back on once this is all said and done, and we'll give you another plug and see how it goes at that point.
Sounds good. We'll talk about what played out.
There we go. Merrick, I appreciate it very much. Again, personality, author of Personality Wins, Who Will Take the White House and How We Know. Where do you buy it at, Merrick?
Online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere online books are sold.
Perfect. Merrick, thank you so much. I appreciate it very much, sir. Take care. Have a great night, okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, let's do this. Extreme Auto Repair folks is coming up next. You heard from them earlier when I interviewed Shane there, and you know what? They want to take care of you with tires especially right now. They've got a great deal on tires, a $75 off rebate on Cooper tires that goes from now until the 9th of November. Ask about that when you call them. They'll also sell you those tires at cost as well. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps our employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Hey, Fleschenbeck, if you're struggling, been in an accident, things aren't going well, you're not making the kind of progress you think you need to be, medically even, you're not where you need to be, you've not been made whole, that's where you need to get Kevin Flesch involved and get him to help you be whole once again. It's Fleschenbeck Law, 303-806-8886, and it's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleschlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law.
Red light cameras, what's the scoop on those?
First of all, you'll get something in the mail with a picture. The picture has to be the person that owns the vehicle. That's the only way that they can ID the driver is by the owner of the vehicle. So if you're driving someone else's vehicle and they get the ticket and your picture is on it, tell them to throw it away because they'll never be able to ID who it is that was driving. So even worst case scenario, I'm driving my own vehicle. I go through an intersection. They get a good picture. They will send me a notice. I still say throw that away.
Yeah, because they need to serve you.
That's right. And if they personally serve you, then you have to deal with it. But if they don't, trash.
Yeah, trashola.
It's a complete revenue generator.
It's all it is.
Yes.
It's just a tax.
Yep.
It's a driving tax.
That's exactly what
it is. That's all it is, people.
Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. FleschLawFirm.com.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Hey, all right, real quick also, speaking of GIA, which you just heard a little commercial from them, I will give them a kudos and a testimonial as well. Most of you listening know that announced earlier today that, you know, the Grand County troublesome fire up there actually consumed my cabin that I had up there, and that is insured by Group Insurance. They actually are the ones that set all that up for me, mainly because cabins are really hard in the middle of the woods to get insurance on, but they helped me get all that set up back in the day when that happened. And I will tell you what, they have been really great about knowing the fire was up there, contacting me throughout it, wanting to know, hey, do I have any, you know, is anything going on? What's up? What's happened? And so on. And once I found out today where I'm at, sent them a email saying, hey, here's where I'm at, and we've got a total loss. What do we need to do next? They're going to help me tomorrow actually file the claim, get that process started. They'll be on the phone with me. I'll tell you what, folks, you don't get that out of an online representative when you're buying insurance. So that's Group Insurance Analysts. They're great individuals. Highly recommend them. I've got no worries about being made whole with all of this. They will take care of it. They're great individuals, and I'll give you play-by-play as we go through this, but I'll tell you what, they're just great individuals, and you don't find that, again, you're not going to get that online, folks. It's just not going to happen. So, all right, let's talk about Halloween for a moment. Coming up Saturday, and not going to spend a lot of time this week on Halloween, mainly because I'm not a Halloween guy. I'll just be the first to admit it. I don't typically go to Halloween parties, costume parties. I have a house where very few trick-or-treaters, if any, will ever show up. And honestly, I'm quite okay with that. This year during the pandemic, who knows what'll happen. But here's some Halloween costumes we won't miss. This is an article in USA Today. So I got a few minutes here that I'll share some of these with you. So we won't miss these this year because either they've already been exhausted in 2020 prior to now, or because of today's social and political climate. So one that we won't miss is Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, which a lot of you watched during the pandemic. I did as well. Charlie did as well. Interesting viewing. Weird in a lot of cases, but you will not have to worry about a Joe Exotic costume because I believe they're all used up as far as I know. Now, you may find one someplace or be able to make yourself look like one, but hey, more power to you. Carol Baskin is the other tempting costume idea. She, by the way, has probably been impersonated the most by TikTok and other places than anyone out there. The Fly. Yes, the fly that landed on VP Mike Pence's head during the vice presidential debate. This article says the time for the fly has come and gone long ago. The sexy nurse and cop costumes. Amid the pandemic, minimizing the vital role of healthcare professionals, such in the case of sexy nurse and sexy doctors, just feels off. If you're looking to honor frontline workers this year and holiday plans, try following the CDC guidelines instead. So being the sexy nurse or the sexy cop, probably in poor taste this year when it comes to Halloween costumes. Anything with blackface. Yeah, you know, that one speaks for itself. I think that one probably should have died a long time ago as well. Again, folks, I'm not a big Halloween costume guy. I mean, I won't wear anything here on Friday and looking forward to Halloween on Saturday. I won't wear anything Saturday when I come in and do the show because, frankly, it's not a big deal to me. I don't care. Now, as a side note, a lot of you have heard me talk about this in the past. As a kid, yes, I trick-or-treated as a kid. Yes, I had a childhood. Yes, I was a child at one time. I always, always, always wanted to go for Halloween as a bum, as a hobo. My dad, he would never, ever, ever allow my brother or I or my sister to go on Halloween as a hobo. I don't know why. At some point, I'll have to just, maybe tomorrow I'll ask him. I don't know why we were never allowed to go as a hobo. But all my friends, everybody else I knew, they could always go as a hobo. But my dad just had this automatic no. If you asked to even go, even as I got older as a teenager, you could not dress up as a hobo. That was not allowed in my house one way or the other. And Charlie, to this day, I cannot answer why you couldn't go as a hobo. It's just something my dad had. And a lot of you as parents have similar things where you just have an utter disdain for certain costumes and probably won't allow your kids. Now, I'm guessing today, Charlie, that probably would be in poor taste as well, given the homelessness situation we have across the country and in big cities especially. You probably can't go as a hobo or a homeless person today either. I'm guessing that would also be in poor taste. Oh, Charlie said, what about a sexy hobo? I don't know if there is such a thing. Probably in poor taste again. So anyways, yeah, let's do this. Enchanted Kitchens is coming up next. And yeah, they want to make sure that your kitchen is that enchanted place. And folks, let me tell you what, and I can tell you this from just owning numerous homes throughout my entire career of buying my first home when I was 22 and having just a little small cracker box of a kitchen to now having pretty much everything in a kitchen you'd ever want. And let me tell you what, there is a world of difference from one to the other. Now, here's something that doesn't change. People hang out in your kitchen, period. It's the hangout place of your house. Now, how it functions, how it works, and how conducive it is to that, yeah, that has a lot to do with how it's built, designed, and so on. And by the way, you can take an existing space in a home and really make it eye-catching and functional. That's what they do. That's exactly what Enchanted Kitchens will do for you. Find them at klzradio.com or dial 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life.
The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, tomorrow we're going to have John Stemberger is going to join us. He's an election analysis as well. We're going to do that with him. He's from the Florida Family Policy Council. Greg Cozera, who is an expert when it comes to our natural resources and how we can capitalize those as a country, will be with us. Andy Pate, of course, will be with me tomorrow, and looking forward to that as well. John Zmirek from Stream.org with his latest article. So, guys, enjoy your night. If you missed the first hour, please catch it next. Otherwise, I'll see you tomorrow right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.